it's a busy weekend in sports, and the NHL hasn't even dropped the puck yet. Drew Romano is going to be up just past 4 o'clock. Talk about that Barkov injury, and the top 10 list was out from TSN. Locker was right. Nathan MacKinnon was number 2 on the list. I had Nikita Kucherov.
We both had Draisaitl at number 3. I was surprised because you nailed Quinn Hughes at 6 and Matthews at 7.
Where did you have? You had Matthews,
Matthews
at
8.
So, well, I thought Matthews was going to be in the top 5 on the TSN list, but there you go. So Drew's going to weigh in on that. Of course, you have the Rough Riders against the Elks tomorrow. You have the Hilltops and the Thunder, of course, that is at SMF Field, the two best teams in the PFC. You also have the Rams at home, the Huskies on the road. They're at the top of Canada West. You got Ryder Cup going on, and it is a big, big weekend for the Toronto Blue Jays. Starts tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. Mike Wilner is from the Toronto Star and the Deep Left Field Podcast. Mike, I guess it's not hyperbole to say this is a huge weekend for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I mean, it's awfully big. It's not do or die, right? We know that they're in the playoffs, and we know that they're going to start the playoffs at home, but we don't know whether they'll have to play in the first round or not. And given the fact that the Blue Jays in this wild card round are 0-6 and have never even won a game, you want to avoid that wild card round. Given the fact that the pitching staff, the rotation seems to be in shambles right now, you'd really like to avoid the wild card round, and you don't want to have to pitch Kevin Gausman on Sunday in a game where if you know you lose or if the Yankees win, you got to play again on Tuesday and you got nobody to start that game. So it's definitely big, but at least they're in the playoffs.
So the bats have gone cold outside of the sixth inning. When a team gets in a rut like this, when the bats dry up, when the runs dry up, how quickly can most teams usually shake this and get back on track?
I mean, it can happen in a heartbeat. You know, it can have. I thought maybe that win in Kansas City on Sunday, where they scored 8 runs and they had, you know, 3 multiple run innings and really looked like themselves again, I thought that might get them going, but then they fell flat those first 2 games against Boston. And even last night with the 6 runs, like you said, they only scored in 1 inning.
Yeah.
Doesn't give you the warm and fuzzy. But, you know, it's funny because people tend to think that when something is going a certain way, it's always going to keep going that way, especially when it's bad. But the worst week that the Blue Jays had this season, offensively, was in May, when they went to Tampa and Texas. Going into the 9th inning of the 6th game of that road trip, they had only scored 4 runs on the entire trip. And then in that 9th inning, Bo Bichette hit that pinch hit 2-run homer, and they won. But they still scored 6 runs on a 6-game road trip. And then they came home and they scored 8 runs in the second inning the first game back and like 23 runs in the first 2 games and won 13 out of their next 16 games and they were on the way to first place. So, you know, it can change that quickly.
Mike, how surprised are you that we're here today going into the final weekend after, like, was it last Tuesday they were 5 up on the New York Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, I did think that, you know, they had the division in the bag. I'm surprised for sure. I didn't think the Yankees were going to go on a 23-8 run either, because the Yankees really aren't that good. I'm very surprised. But the truth of the matter is, and I've said this a million times over the course of the last few months, there are no great teams in the American League, and that includes the Blue Jays. And you know, there's a reason that Toronto, Detroit, and Houston all had comfortable leads in their division a month ago, and now none of them have the lead, and the Blue Jays are only in first by virtue of the tiebreaker. There are no great teams in this league, and up and down there can be huge swings in performance, and And we're seeing it this September from everybody.
Mike, you touched on Schneider, and I'm sure we'll get into the pitching conversation about what he's going to do, especially if they have to play a wild card game. But how would you grade Schneider's performance in the last week, 2 weeks, with this bit of a slide here?
I think he's been terrific. I think the thing you need from a manager when things are crashing down around you is calm and positivity and support. And that's what he's been great at since day one, since he joined the big league coaching staff in 2019. John Schneider can't go in the batter's box and get a hit for them. And he can't get a big out. He's got to call on the people whose job it is to do that and try to put them in the best position to succeed. And I think he does a very good job of that. And I think it should be noted that the major, major decisions that are made with the roster, with the pitching staff, with the rotation, all of that, that's not John Schneider. He is, you know, there's maybe Terry Francona, and that's it as far as managers who can tell the front office, to stuff it, I'm going to do what I want. So, you know, if you have a problem with the rotation, who's in, who's out, or, you know, with the roster, that's not John Schneider.
Mike Wilner joining us from the Toronto Star and the host of Deep Left Field, the podcast, talking all things Blue Jays. What about that pitching rotation? Like, how much has this slide really, to use lack of a better term, a curveball at Schneider and the management on how they're going to on how they're going to handle this weekend's pitching staff, who's starting, trying to line on what, like, this has got to be a mess on trying to figure out what to do here on who pitches when.
It's a mess, but it's a mess because Chris Bassitt and Jose Berríos are hurt, and Max Scherzer all of a sudden has become incredibly ineffective. So, yeah, it's a mess. And because Shane Bieber's still recovering from Tommy John surgery, and so you have to be careful with him. He's got to listen to his arm, and he couldn't pitch last night, and he needed that extra day. And that takes him out of consideration for game one of a wild card series. And if Gausman has to pitch Sunday, it takes him out of consideration for game one of a wild card series. And Trey Savage is pitching Saturday, and it'll be his third major league start. And he may be your game three starter in the playoffs, in a best of three, which is wild. Not only are you not assured of getting that breather and not having to play in the first round, but you can't even set your rotation up for the first round because you want to avoid that. And, you know, if this comes down to the wire Sunday and Kevin Gausman has to start Sunday's game and the Blue Jays don't win the division, there might be a bullpen game in the playoff opening. Ridiculous.
Mike, we've had conversations on the Green Zone revolving around the celebration after clinching a playoff spot. And it is quite surprising how angry some people got when the team celebrated what they thought was something.
Full disclosure, Mike, he's talking about me.
Not just you. Like,
I'm not a fan of it, never have been. I don't know why. It just bothers me.
Yeah, but it really upset a lot of Jays fans. And we got a lot of texts and a lot of calls from people that were, like, irate. What's your thought on the celebration at that time?
I think anyone who's upset about celebrating clinching the playoff spot needs to grow up. Genuinely don't know what's wrong with you. Baseball is a 162-game season. It is the longest season. It is the most difficult game to win, and it has the fewest playoff spots of any of the major sports. It is the toughest sport in which to make the playoffs, and they finished in last place last year. Why on earth would you not celebrate something that's so difficult to accomplish that, you know, that you've grinded it out for the better part of 7 months to try to do? I mean, I know that there are some people who exist only to be angry and who need things to be angry about, and it makes them happy to get angry, and whatever. I'll never understand that, and that's fine. But But yeah, sorry, because I know, you know, one of you was on that side, but it's just, it's ridiculous. That anyone should be upset about that is beyond ridiculous.
Amen. Let the kids celebrate, Jamie. Come on.
Like, honestly, why do you hate fun? Like,
it's not the end goal. That's why. You celebrate when you have the trophy in your hand. That's when you celebrate.
No, you don't. That's ridiculous also, because only one team is going to have that trophy in their hand at the end of the season, and there are accomplishments along the way. Making the playoffs, especially after finishing in last place the year before, is an incredible accomplishment. Winning any playoff round is an incredible accomplishment. And to turn your nose up at that because they didn't win the whole thing, then, you know, you're going to be very, very disappointed for almost always, right? If you're only happy if your team wins the championship, you know, like, settle in for 50 years of disappointment.
So you think there needs to be more drinking in the Stanley Cup playoffs then, clearly, Mike. That's where you're at. There's not enough drinking.
The Stanley Cup playoffs is a ridiculous grind, right? And to go 2 months playing almost every other day and to win that whole thing is crazy. But to win one, like, look, I live in Toronto. How often do they win one freaking playoff round?
It's
something that's not that easy to do. I'm not talking about the drinking. I don't think they do much drinking. They just pour it all over each other. And that's a whole other argument, because that's whatever. It's not about getting hammered. It's about
letting a little steam off.
Bottles on people's heads, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about celebrating a legitimate, really, really, really difficult achievement.
Mike, always appreciate your time. Thanks for it, and enjoy game one of the final set tonight.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
That is Mike Wilner from the Toronto Star and Deep Left Field podcast.
Coming soon to the Green Zone merch page, why do you hate fun t-shirts? And some people exist only to be angry.
Are you just going to put my picture on that shirt, Walker?
Your face will be on the back.
And take so much joy in. I felt every part of that, Mike Wilner. And a lot of people listening are going, you tell him, Wilner! You go! We have a new favorite guest here on the Green Zone for a lot of our Green Zone listeners is Mike Wilner from the Toronto Star and the Deep.
He was already on the list.
How you feeling today, Jays fans, after a big win last night? A big inning. They scored in one inning and that six runs.
It was two at-bats, if we're being honest.
But
Barshow and Springer, and that was about it.
Are you feeling confident going into the weekend? Shane Bieber has the ball tonight for the Blue Jays against the Rays. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. It is a busy football weekend. Of course, you have the Rough Rider game tomorrow. Sam Emilis back in the lineup for the Rough Riders, as is Marcus Sales in the secondary. Still no Tavon Campbell. And Sean Bain Jr. will return kicks instead of Mario Alford against the Elks.
He's done that in his past, has he not?
With the Stamps before he became a Rider. He was.
I remember you guys talking about that, Daryl and Belton and you on one of the pregame shows.
So that is now reality. Mario Alford will.
It's a good way to ease him back into the lineup, too, right?
Absolutely, it is. So we'll see if he gets any receiving reps, although with the ratio, not sure how that fits out. But the Thunder and the Hilltops, of course, a rematch from that 18-15 Hilltops victory in Regina. Game time, 7 o'clock, SMF Field in Saskatoon. Both teams are 5-1
with two games left on the season, leading the charge in the PFC. In university football, you have the Huskies and the Rams playing this weekend. 3-1 in Canada West, both at the top. The Huskies are in Calgary tomorrow afternoon. The Rams are home to Manitoba at Mosaic Stadium at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. It is a doubleheader tonight in the CFL. The Montreal Alouettes with Davis Alexander back in the lineup take on the Calgary Stampeders. The Lions are hosting the Toronto Argonauts. Of course, the Jays against the Rays tonight at the Rogers Center. You have the Orioles and the Yankees tonight. The Yankees and the Jays still tied atop the AL East. And the Ryder Cup. Europe is up 4-2 right now. There are two matches still on the course. Europe leads 2-up on DeChambeau and Griffin. They're 2-up with two holes left. And the other match is tied up right now with three holes remaining. That features Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry versus Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, it's time for our NFL picks of the week as Locker will try to continue his dominance in his NFL Pick'em League.
I'm rolling. I'm rolling this season.
And I'll
baby
try to stop sucking. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here at the Green Zone on this Friday afternoon. All Request Friday. What music you want to hear getting into the weekend? 1-877-332-8255. That one goes out to Wheels. Simple Minds. Get it? Wheels, how's it going? Welcome back to the program.
Listen, Simple Minds, it's for you because you're in last place of this NFL Pick'ems, my friend.
I'm tied for last.
Okay, well, you can fight over that. I don't care. Just stay down there.
Me and Sherry are having a bit of a struggle at 6-6. We're 500, but everybody else is above 500. But leading the charge is Locker with a 9-3 record for the first 3 weeks of the season as we continue the NFL Celebrity Pick'em Pool here on Ralco Radio with our sister stations.
If the Ravens had won, I'd be 10-2.
Oof. I'd be 7-6 if the Ravens would have, or 7-5 if the Ravens would have won. But
Wheels, anyways, you're doing well. Wheels is tied for second.
He's one win back. The only thing good about the Ravens losing last week was you and Wheels didn't go 4-0.
That's right. That you actually you would have gone 4-4 too, Wheels.
Oh yeah, I love the Ravens this year. They'll figure it out. Don't worry.
Wheels. Let's get started on this week's games. The Minnesota Vikings taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers in Ireland. Have you ever been to Ireland?
No, I have not. It's on the list, though.
Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers said this week that his favorite beer is or drink is Guinness out of the tap. So draft Guinness. So he might have a few of those. I'm going Minnesota.
I could see you being a, Guinness guy, Wills. No?
Lots of Irish heritage.
Yeah.
I'm more of an IPA guy than I am a dark.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page with that as well. Although I do really enjoy a Guinness. Really do. We all picked Minnesota. Jamie, myself, and Wheels. This was probably one of the tougher picks for me, Jamie.
Yeah, this was
this one I struggled with.
Wheels, why are you going with Minnesota?
Well, Carson Wentz was looking great back there last time. So I'm going, okay, we're going to ride that out. And I'm going to trust that Aaron Rodgers doesn't travel well. He's going to get into some weird stuff over there in Ireland.
Like the Guinness. Okay, let's go to Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. Two of the best teams in the National Football League. The Buccaneers a little bit bruised up.
I went back and forth on this one.
I'm going Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Wheels.
I think Philly.
Why?
Philly, because the tush push is still a thing, and I'm not betting against it until it's outlawed.
It shouldn't be outlawed. What are you talking about, outlawed?
They're offside almost every play. You watch it like I do. Either officiate it the right way or get rid of it.
Have you know? Did you not see this? Everybody on short yardage on those, every team is most of the time offside. It's not just the Philadelphia Eagles. They
call them
a little more relaxed on it.
I'm the only one. I don't know if you know this, Wheels. I'm the only one on the Green Zone team that picked Philadelphia. And the entire music squad picked Philadelphia to win this
one. Yeah, three of four of us took
Tampa Bay. I really like Baker. I love him, and I want him to do well. I just don't know if he has the team that Jalen Hurts has behind him. That's why I gave it to Philly. I think I put Tampa Bay down first. I went back and changed it.
Are you two just copying each other's picks for like
no. Are we the same
third
again?
Straight week, it's the exact same picks with you two.
Hold on. I just park it for a second. Locker, if we continue to do this, pick the same picks, we'll beat Jamie.
No, you won't.
I'm not in it to beat Jamie. I'm in it to win as a group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is your sole purpose in taking part in this, Wheels, is to beat me in our NFL picks? That's
yes,
it? Yes. You don't want to win? Yes. You just want to beat me?
No, that is the win. Beating you is the win. It's all I care about.
Well, I am unfortunately on Jamie's team, so and he keeps making weird picks.
Kansas City, Baltimore. Speaking of weird picks, I'm going Kansas City. Let's go. KC at home, Arrowhead. Baltimore's defense sucks. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. Wheels, why are you going Baltimore?
Because there's no way Baltimore loses.
Yeah.
Again, I can't believe one of these teams are going to be 1-3 after this game.
Yeah.
But I'm picking Lamar. I'm picking King Henry.
King Henry is going to walk all over this Chiefs squad. That was the easiest pick for me this week. I looked at that one. I didn't even look at stats. Nothing. I just went, all right, KC's done. I've got it on the board. They're not even going to make the playoffs this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As we go to the final game, the Sunday nighter, Micah Parsons and the Green Bay Packers going to Dallas. Everybody picked Green Bay except for Sully from Rock 102, went with the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
That's on your side, Wheels. That's your team.
Vancouver fans, so you can't figure them out, right?
Hey, what?
You heard me.
What are we doing here?
Canucks fans. Unbelievable.
So we're all going Green Bay. We all agree that the Dallas Cowboys suck.
Yeah.
Is that where we're going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
The funny thing is, not that I'm defending Sully here, but that is a team. They're not as bad as I thought they were going to be this year, and they've actually surprised me. And I know they're only 1-2, but I don't know. They're a team that, and I'm not doing this for Britton either, because Britton Gray is a huge Cowboys fan. They're a team that could win a game like that. Right?
I don't think they are.
But they're not going to beat. Micah Parsons is going to go in there, and okay, he is just going to stomp on them.
Let's get to something, a topic Wheels knows something more about.
Phenomena. Phenomena.
Ah, yes, the Phenomena. Muppets. Jim Henson's collection continues to go up for auction. If you could buy any one of Jim Henson's famous Muppets, Wheels.
No, puppet. Any puppet.
Or puppet from like Fraggle Rock and Sesame Street and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, that's
cool. Are you changing yours?
Hold on. Yeah. Did he do Yoda? I think Yoda's his too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, same voice. Miss Piggy's the voice of Yoda, so I wouldn't be surprised.
That's something I didn't know. Miss Piggy and Yoda are the same person?
Say it in your head. Use his voice in your head. They're the exact same.
Frank Oz was the Yoda.
Okay. And yeah, Frank Oz also did Miss Piggy?
No. But Jim Henson was... George Lucas wanted Jim Henson to create stuff, but it was... He passed on Star Wars. Okay. So what is it? What do we got? Wheels, what is your Muppet puppet?
Star Wars was too weird for him.
Okay.
He drops Fraggle Rock on us?
Yeah, Fraggle Rock. Okay, so if it's Muppets, I'm doing Fozzie Bear. Waka Waka. He's Always making jokes. The best. But if you're tossing Fraggle Rock in there, the dog from Fraggle Rock, so many memories with that guy.
Are you taking Beaker, or what are you taking?
I want to take Beaker so bad.
My first instinct was Animal. But the Swedish Chef, too. I mean...
Dargis, blurgy, blurgy, blurgy.
Yeah, that one. You kind of look like him, actually.
What is that supposed to mean? Where did we go here? I don't even know what that was. I don't think
I
that's
more
accurate.
Like Beaker.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Out of the guys in this room who look like a Muppet, we got that guy's head over here.
I got the just visiting head. I can I have Beaker? I want to pick. I'm changing my pick.
You're changing your pick to Beaker. Okay, can I have Animal? I'll take Animal then.
You can have Animal.
I'll leave Oscar the Grouch for Drew.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's a home run right there.
All right, Wheels.
Don't go to sleep on Miss Piggy though. I could put her on my list.
Kermit the Frog?
How no.
Kermit the Frog here.
He was annoying.
Okay.
Oh, you guys. Hey, FM News, the Muppet Show returning next year on Disney Plus, so not over yet.
Are we still doing Disney Plus? Oh, yeah, Kimmel's back. Sorry. Wheels, have a good weekend.
See you guys.
We can't have Tylenol.
I shouldn't have said that. Here comes the text. Coming up next, are you ready for some rugby? When you should be watching for the rugby, women's rugby final with, of course, a Saskatchewanian going for a world supremacy. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Sunday is the World Women's Cup when it comes to rugby. The World Cup of Rugby in England. Canada takes on England in front of 80,000 people on Sunday for the Women's Rugby World Cup. Gabby Senf is the only member of Team Canada from Saskatchewan. She does play in England in her a semi-pro career in rugby, and joined us earlier in the week to talk about how ready she was to face the masses and 80,000 strong, with many not rooting for Canada.
Well, it's not anything new. We always play games outside of Canada, so we're pretty used to not having a home crowd and having people cheer for us, I guess, to say the least. But at least we know that outside of England, everyone's cheering for Canada. So hopefully there'll be a few more fans because, you know, the Scots, the Irish, they'll be cheering for us. So.
Well, I'll tell you, Russell Crowe from New Zealand, of course, he just beat New Zealand. The actor Russell Crowe has, I don't know if your team knows this, but he posted on social media already, he is on Canada's side for the World Cup final. Are you feeling that support? Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have so much support. We've been getting videos. We have like things being sent to us, flags. Like, it's honestly awesome. Even Celine Dion reaching out and just saying she's cheering for us. Like, yeah, she said, "Let's go, girls."
That's
so
really cool.
I know that our fan crew is like emailing her saying, "Come sing the national anthem like for the game." So yeah, we're feeling immense love from the country, and it's awesome that we're even in England and we're feeling that vibe. So
that is Gabby Senf from Regina, Leboldus, and now on Team Canada for the Women's Rugby World Cup final on Sunday. It is in England. It's going to be the biggest audience ever to watch a women's rugby game. That'll be the pregame on TSN will be 8 o'clock Saskatchewan time. It's an hour pregame. Kickoff will be 9 a.m. Of course, this coming weekend for the rugby.
When did we have Gabby on? Was that Wednesday? I think it was.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah,
one of those
she was fantastic. So we got into the whole rugby and parties and everything like that because rugby players, they go.
It's a lifestyle. Rugby is a lifestyle.
Yes, it is. And I had a dose of it back in the day, and I remember walking into that world going, well, hello, they're wired different.
They know how to have a good time.
They do. Yes, they do.
No doubt about it. So the Rugby Women's World Cup final Sunday. It'll be on TSN on Sunday morning. England's the best. They are the world's number one. Canada's played them tight the last couple of meetings. They're going there to shock the world, and they would shock the world. Remember, part of the Gabby story, what she told us, they crowdfunded for themselves for the training and the travel to get them all together. They needed crowdfunding to go to the World Cup, and they are the second best team in the world, but they needed crowdfunding to get this done. So she said that helped galvanize them a bit. Like, she was almost like, would we be as tight if we had to go a different route and we just had the money? It was like, she's not sure if they would have.
There was a bit of a struggle there, right?
So, and it's making it like for New Zealand and Australia and England and France and like the big rugby countries that follow it a lot closer than, of course, probably North Americans do right now. They are talking about this team.
82,000 people will be in the stadium watching that final this weekend.
Go Canada. It would be quite the feat to win their first ever.
Weekend for sports.
They've been in the final before, but they lost to France.
2022?
2014 was in there when they were in the final.
In the final?
Last time.
The last World Cup?
And lost to France. So trying to get a victory this time on Sunday. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The Rough Riders have Sam Amelis back. Yes. The receiver, after the last couple of weeks being injured, is back for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So that is good news heading into, of course, Saturday's game against the Edmonton Elks. 5 o'clock kickoff, the Green Zone pregame show at 3. Doubleheader in the CFL tonight. Davis Alexander returns for the Alouettes against the Stampeders. Meanwhile, Nick Arbuckle's back for Toronto against the BC Lions. The Toronto Blue Jays have the Tampa Bay Rays in Toronto tonight. The Yankees, once again, are taking on the Baltimore Orioles. They're tied at the top of the AL East. Shane Bieber has the ball tonight. Meanwhile, the Regina Pats home opener is this evening at the Brand Center. Maddox Schultz, Liam Pugh will be in the lineup on another busy weekend, the second weekend of the Western Hockey League season. And Alexander Barkov, likely done for the season. Drew Remenda is going to weigh in on that. And does he agree with TSN's top 10 list with Nathan MacKinnon number 2? I was surprised Nikita Kucherov was 5 on the list. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.